Okay, a good tovach. It's Moitzu Shabbos, Parshas. What's it today? Vayakel, Parshas Shkolim. It's Rosh Chodesh. All kinds of good stuff going on tonight. So I guess we're at the top of Samach Vav.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We need to, in order to understand this page, we need to recap a lot of information, because if you didn't know the previous two pages, you won't have any idea what they're talking about the rest of this Talmud. So I found myself having to go back and chazer it. And I gave those pages. So Alchas Kam V'Kam, or someone who just heard them, it'll just be difficult. Okay? So you'll pardon me for taking a couple of minutes to review some basics. Okay? So I'm going to review... I'll tell you what we'll review from. Just one second. I'm just going to go over the Shach V'Tar, the Gemara of Samach Hei very quickly, so that we're familiar with what's going on over here. First of all, remember the old Machlokes of Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rav Yochanan holds that Chai Malkus are, if you actually get the Malkus, it patas, you'll come live in Rav Minei. If you don't get the Malkus, you're Chayiv. Rish Lakish holds, it doesn't matter whether you get the Malkus or not, it always patas, you'll come live in Rav Minei. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara has a diuk from the Mishnah in Megillah that the only difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos is one is Chayiv Karas and one is Chayiv Skila. But as far as Chayiv Tashlumin is concerned, they're the same, meaning that there's a din of come live in Rav Minei even by Chayiv Krisus. That was the Gemara's diuk. Then the Gemara said that this idea that Koris, Paters, is the Shita of two Tanoim. They are Nechunya ben Hakona and Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. And the Gemara had different Lashonis in the way they said it, but it's not important for tonight. Those are two names to remember. So those are, again, Reb Nechunya ben Hakona and Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. And it was proven from a Braisa that Rav Shimon ben Yochai quoted, and in the Braisa, he quoted the Shita of Rav Tarfon. Okay, and Rav Tarfon said, it says Karas by Shabbos, it says Karas by Yom Kippur, just like Shabbos, there's no Malkus, there's no Mammon, so two Karas, there's no Mammon. So we have three Shitas, three Tanoim at least, that hold Karas as a Ptur. Right? The names were, again, I can't remember names for the life of me, Rav Nechunya ben Hakona, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and Rav Tarfon. Those are the three that hold Koris is a Ptur and Mammon. Okay? Now, then the Gemara asks a question. Just one second. Let me get one thing quick here. Yeah. Then the Gemara had a question about whether Koris will, just like Koris patas you from Mammon, will it patas you from Malkus? So the Gemara says that this question is only according to Rav Shlakish. But according to Rav Yochanan, that's not going to be a question, because if Misa doesn't pater Malkus, then surely Karas doesn't pater Malkus. Where do you see this Shita of Rabbi Yochanan? You see the Shita, but if you say, if someone has Oisra Aspenoi, and he shechs it Lavad Azara, and you give him Hasra for Malkus, in other words, you give him Hasra for Oisra Aspenoi, Rabbi Yochanan holds you get Malkus. And if you give him Hasra for Lavad Azara, he gets Skila. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the fact that it's an Isser, which if you would have given him Hasra from Misa, he would have been Chayim Misa, does not pater him from Malkus, and therefore for sure, Koras is not going to pater him from Malkus. Okay, that's what the Gemara said according to Rav Yochanan. The only question was according to Rish Lakish. That was the way the Gemara answered it, ended on Samach Hei base. Now, then the Gemara is going to now say that no, this is where we're beginning. No, it's possible, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would also be a question. Why? Because where did Rabbi Yochanan say his din? He said his din, b'shnei dvarim, where you had two separate issues. Oisei Aspanoi is one issue, Avodah Zarah is another issue. So you have two separate lavin that are coalescing in the same Maisa Shechita, but it's two separate lavin. Masha Ein Kein, let's take what would be an example of where it's one. A simple case would be, let's suppose I eat something on Yom Kippur. Suppose I eat on Yom Kippur, and you give me Hasraf from Malkus, so will the fact that I'm Chayiv Karas pater me from the Malkus? So maybe over there you could even ask a coin to Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe he only holds your Chayiv on either one, where it's two separate things. But if it's one thing, maybe, right? That's the top line. Hacha Shnei Dvarim, V'Hacha Dovar Echad. Okay. Next. Now, the Rabbanan in the Mishnah in Malkus. The Mishnah Malkus has a whole list of people that get Malkus. In that list are some Chayiv Krisis. So, Aldaite Rav Shimon Lakish. So we're going to ask the following. These Tanoim, which I just mentioned to you before, which were Rav Nachum ben Hakana and Rav Shimon Menasya and Rav Tarfon, they all hold, right, that if you get Karas, that it parters you from what? It parters you from Tashlumin. And the rabbis in the Mishnah in Malkus say that you get Malkus if you violate a Karas. Right? You could. So it'll come out. What the Gemara is saying right now is like this. According to Shlakish's opinion, remember, Shlakish's opinion is that Malkus is going to pater you regardless whether you actually get the Malkus or not. So therefore, the question is, just hold cup here for a second. The question is, what is going to end up being a nafkamina then between that list of rabbis that say the Koras paters you from Tashlumin and the rabbis in the Mishnah in Malkus who say that you get Malkus for Chayve Krisis? It comes out that according to everybody, in any case of the Chayve Krisis, you're going to be pater from Malkus. You're going to be pater from Tashlumin. Because in any chorus example, it'll be possible to get Malkus. And Rish Lakish's Shita is, when it's possible to get Malkus, it parters you from Mammon.
Except if you didn't get Hasraf
of Malkus. No, it doesn't make a difference. Bein Meshogeg, Bein Mamezid. Rish Lakish holds it makes no difference. Chayve Malkus, Shogegin is also parters you from Tashlumin. Woman. Right? That's Rish Lakish's Shita. So therefore, if you have Chayve Krisos, since it's possible to get Malkus, it's going to part to you from Tashlumin. So then, what's the difference between them? Both groups agree that you're exempt from making financial payments if you violate a transgression subject to Karas. So the Gemara answers, do you want me to speak out any more? Can I speak out a little bit more that why is it Bishleim according to Rabbi Yochanan? This is not a kasha. You want me to explain that side? So Bishleim like Rabbi Yochanan. The difference is very simple, because Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is the Malkus by itself is not enough to pater unless you actually get the Malkus. So there is a nafkamina, because the Rabbanan may hold your Chayiv Malkus, but that's not going to pater you if you didn't get Hasraf for the Malkus, like you just said. That's Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. So therefore, there's a simple nafkamina. If they don't hold that Chayiv Krisa, that Karas by itself is not a Ptur in Tashlumin, that's a clear difference between them and Rav Nachum ben Hakana Rav Menasya. They're going to hold that it will only be if you get the Malkus that you get, that it parters you, and they hold that the Krisis by itself will be enough to part you. But the Kasha is according to Shita of Rish Lakish, who holds that it makes no difference whether you actually get the Malkus or not. So then it'll come out that the rabbis in the Mishnah Malkus and Rav Menasya and Rav Nachum ben Hakana all hold the same thing. You're going to part as far as this is concerned. So what's the nafkamina? The Gemara ends up saying a simple question, answer. Lalavin below the Krisis. The difference will be in a case where there was no Krisis. That's a simple answer. The Gemara is going to explain. Amar Abudon, Hashem and Lakish do Amar Kureb Meir, do Amar Lokal Mashalin. So this is a cryptic line. You have to read the English to even understand what's going on over here. According to Rish Lakish, Rab Nechunya ben Hakana and Rab Shimon ben Manasya, they agree with Rab Meir, who says that it's loiko umashalim. Okay, just have to look at this again. So, number seven. I'm just looking at, I'm going to read it inside again just to remind myself. The Gemara just stated that the distinction between the view of Rav Nachum ben Akana, Rav Shimon ben Asya, and the opposing rabbis lies in the case where one violated a prohibition subject to Malkus, but not to Koras. That's what the Gemara just said. Now, as the Gemara will soon specify, Rav Nachum ben Akana, Rav Shimon ben Asya rule, such a person is obligated to make payments even though he has incurred Malkus. Thus, they share the opinion of a mayor in the Mishnah and Malkus. In other words, basically what we're saying is that they're going to have to hold like a mayor that's like Ol Mashalim, because that's their position is that, again, we're making a distinction, right, between them and the Chachamim and Malkus. So if the Chachamim and Malkus say you get Malkus, and even in Chai V'Krisus, and we're now saying, what are we saying? We're saying that the Dafka Mina is, if you have a case of a Lysa, say, without Krisus. So what's going to happen then? See, I don't have this all worked out clearly. So they're going to say, my head's not working. I'm not working that one. Hold on. Why are we saying he has to hold like a mayor? I don't remember the reason for this. Let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. I think maybe it'll become clearer. Amar of Kanaya. See, here we have an example of Malkus without Karis. So we have two cases. Hamatzis Gedisha Shachaver Biyom Tov Beinehon. So you have lighting a fire. I'm lighting up your Gaddish on fire on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not an Isser Karas. It's an Isser Malkus. It's a Leisase, right? So, Elain Tanye Sovereign Meimar Hoyol Ve'im Behem Karas Mashalim. So, Rav Nachum ben Akana and Rav Shimon ben Asya, they hold what? That since there's no chorus, you're going to have to pay. Right. See, and that at that point, what do you mean you're going to have to pay? I it's Malkus. And we're going like Rish Lakish holds that Malkus usually patters you, even if it's not, what's his name, even if you don't get it. Teretz says that you're going to have to say that they hold like a mayor who holds Leiko Mashalim. That's how we're trying to make an Afkamina. They hold, no, since they don't hold for a mayor, so they disagree with them. So that'll be the basis of the machlokes. Right? They're going to hold that there's no karas by Yom Tov. You violated something which is chayiv malkus, but they hold loiko mashalim like a mayor. And there are Rabbanon, they hold that there's Malkus in this case, and Malkus will go ahead and part to you, according to Rish Lakish, even if you don't get it. And obviously, Rish Lakish's personal sheet does not like Reb Meir, but that's how he's going to learn the Machlokas. So it'll come out that, according to Rish Lakish learns this, Reb Nachum ben Akana is going to hold like Reb Meir, and against the Rabbanon. Okay? Now that's basically that. Now the Gemara says, "Me ato elunaris deloy karabbanan." So now the mission elunaris is also not going to be like karabbanan because in the Mishnah in elunaris it says if you coerce a mamzeres that you pay the penalty. And lechera mamzeres is an isalav, and isalav elisa leisa say gets malchus. So it'll come out that it is not, according to the Rabbanan who hold that that someone who gets Malkus is not Mishalim. Now the Gemara already established that the Mishnah, according to Rish Lakish, that the Mishnah Elanaris was coming out like a mayor. Now we already asked this question. But we asked the question from the Seifa of the Mishnah. Seifa of the Mishnah mentions Baal Achoso, which is an Isser Koras. So, and from that we extrapolated that Rish Lakish had to learn that the Mishnah that says you pay is coming out like Rav Meir who holds Leiko Mishalim. But the Gemara is asking the question again, because maybe even from the Reisha, because the Reisha mentions an Isser Lav of Mamzeres, and there too, it's saying you have to pay. L'chera, that's going to have to come out like Rav Meir. And not like the Rabbanon, who say Malkus is a Ptur. Amar Matanya, it could come out like everybody. If the case is, the one that did the coercion himself was a Mamzer. So a Mamzer being Baal a Mamzeres, that's no loisase. So we did away with the loisase. In Mamela, you could have a case where there's payment that won't be subject to Malkus. Now, the Gemara has another case. It says, in Eil and Aris, it's like the Gemara kind of like just decides to pick a specific case that's in that Mishnah Eil and Aris and analyze it. It's kind of like, this Gemara really doesn't belong here, but we'll learn what I just want to kind of like put it in context. So it digresses to elucidate another statement in that Mishnah. The Mishnah said someone who was Ma'anes, his brother's wife has to pay the fine. So now, what is the case? Let's take the possibilities. Is his brother married to the woman? Then she's an Eishes Ish, he's Chayiv Fenech. And of course, someone who's Chayiv Misa doesn't have to pay any penalties. He gets put to death. So that can't be the case. So she was an Arusa. She has to be an Arusa. Because the reason why she has to be an Arusa is because the person who's Ma'anes has to be Ma'anes of Basula, right? So if she's an Arusa, and again it's gonna be also, right? It's also gonna be she's gonna also be Chayiv Misa. If he's Ma'anes and Eishes Ish, that's an Arusa. He's also an Arusa. Arusa's Eishes Ish. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Right. So it must be that his brother, we're talking about a case where his brother died without children, and then Mela, and she's and it's calling the Yavama Eishes Ochiv. But the Gemara says in that case, then he shouldn't have to pay anything because he's doing a mitzvah.
Unless she rejects it.
So what they're saying is Bar Karcha. I mean, Yavama Leomar feel Bar Karcha. The Gemara says in Yavamas, right? So that can't be the case either. So the Gemara says, Eishes Ochiv lav yivim tohi? Why does he pay a fine? So the Gemara says, Tiftor shahayu l'ochiv bonim ve'eras isha umeis, that he had, it says here that he had children from another woman, from a different marriage. And then he was ma'aris, this woman, and then he died. So it says, va'ochiv anosa, and the deceased brother, who's still alive, was ma'anes this woman. I don't understand that case so well, because that's still Eishes Ochiv, right? Eishes Ochiv is a Chayiv Koras, right?
Even if he's not alive.
Oh yeah, it remains it's an oilam. It's only a special heter by Yavama that we allow because he doesn't have children. We say there's a special heter to that, but he's still it's a chorus even if it's just an arusa. But this is which may be fine. That could be that's the kiddush of that mishnah that you still have to pay. For being ma'anes, you have to be ma'anes, or even though it's Chayiv Koras, you still have to pay the penalty. And that's what the case is. That's basically all the Gemara is trying to do.
This girl's gone through a tough time giving the money.
Right.
She's therapy.
Exactly. She needs a lot of therapy. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Okay, this was that was a pretty hard beginning. But, yeah. You have to go over it again and again. So let's learn halacha base. This will be a little easier. Bas Kohen Shenisus LeYisrael. So now, till now we were talking about a Bas Yisrael that married a Kohen and then she ate the Truma, right? She ate the Truma when she was a Yisraelis and then she married a Kohen and then she got divorced from him. You know, that was the fancy case. So she ate the truma be'isra over there. Here, we're going to start off with a bas kohen. So right now, before she gets married, she can eat truma, no problem. Now she goes and she marries a Yisrael. Now she becomes forbidden in the truma because of her husband. If her husband were to divorce her or died, and she had no children, she's choseres lebeis aviya and goes back to eating truma, right? One last halacha, I just want to mention, if she's nevelas to someone who's usher to her, that will make her a halala, and then she no longer eats truma for the rest of her life, because he disqualifies her. Okay, so let's see the case in the Mishnah. Bas kohen shenisnas leYisrael, and acha kachoch lo truma. So what's the din if she eats truma b'shogeg? What do you do? So normally, if you have someone eating truma b'shogeg, you have to pay a keren and a chaimish to a kohen, right? But here, she's a little different because she's not a full Zara because she was originally a Kohenis. So she's not a pure Zara. Okay. She's a partial Zara. In the sense
partial enough that
she's Meshalemes as HaKaren. She pays the principal. The Eino Meshalemes as HaChomesh. She does not have to pay the Chomesh.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's in the Pasuk or that's a Darabon?
This is Daraisa. Yeah. The Gemara has a drasha. Let's look at Marafolda, for example, of a lochomish the kohenasi. She is a kohenas. Uksiv the chozar lo yochal kodesh yotzazazu she'eino zara. She's not considered strange to the shaved completely. The afshalasha toshal lebeis aviya ben ureho. It's possible for her to go back to her husband, to her father's house. Utei mataras lacho betruma. She'll be able to eat truma, right? I don't know why it says ben urel. Isn't she able to go back even if she's a bulgaris? I don't know why the marafolda says ben urel.
Like her youth?
Maybe it should be kin urel. Like her youth, it should be. Like am I right?
As though she was Vaskai.
We don't judge her as Kasher Husham.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't think that word ben urel is correct. Okay, I might be wrong. Okay, but she still gets strafa. That's the important thing here. Now, strafa is interesting because, right, we're saying that she's now married to a Yisrael. So if she's mezana, maybe she's no longer a kohenes to be machayev. There's a special misa of strafa for bas kohen kisek lizmos. If that's the pasuk, right? So maybe that's only applicable when she's in her pure kohuna status. No, here it says in zinsel tachas bali Yisrael, kedoksiv bas kohen kisechel is nos kol shehi bas kohen. As long as she was a bas kohen, lo ishna eishes Yisrael, lo ishna eishes kohen. Doesn't matter who she's married to, or eish tisarev. This din, it's because the pshat is a saviyahim mechalelas. It's still a chil in her father's view. So she's going to get strafa regardless. Regardless. And then it says, this is lechman apsulim. What if she gets married to, like, a halal nesin or a mamzer, who she's not allowed to be married to, and they make her into a halala? Then what happens? Mishalemes keren v'chomesh. Then if she eats truma b'shogeg, she has to pay the chomesh, because now she's completely czar, right? Meaning she has no chance of returning to her father's house, right? When we saw Sivakhanik, here her misa will also change. The very mayor. So okay, so her mayor has a distinction between whether she was married to someone who's Muteras law and usher to her. I find the way they're being masver this thing, I was surprised that nobody speaks this out, but. They say that, you know, it depends on whether she can return to Beis Aviyah to eat, to return to Truma, to determine whether she's a Zara or not. What about the case where she has children? Not when she's married to a Zar. Someone that's Aser. Let's suppose she has kids. Once she has kids, she'll never go back to her father's house. As long
so
as
she's
can.
Connected to her husband, and she's disconnected to her father.
But it doesn't give that as an example of someone that will pay a keren v'chomesh. I wasn't sure how far the comparison, this svara of the fact that she's able to go back to her father's house, how much in plagues? What?
It's in footnote one, Shlomi.
It is?
It's in footnote, the end of it, yeah. Even, or the parentheses at the bottom.
Oh, you're right.
Or even if she has children, if she marries a Kohen, she still has the potential of once again, being able to eat Truma.
Oh, that's not.
Even she has children, right.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
Well, she goes back. If she
that's true. Even if a Yisraelis, right?
Yes. No.
Yeah, a Yisraelis. A Yisraelis that marries a Kohen eats Truma, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Does it make a difference whether she has children from another marriage?
No.
Oh, this is the whole thing. I really didn't think about it. I don't know anything about this. Okay.
But yeah, he seems to address it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's good that you brought to my attention. Yeah, very good. Thank you. So now we have that's the Meir Shita. Now the Chachamim disagree. Chachamim zuvizu, meaning both if she's married to Kesherah, both if she's married to someone who's possible. Meshalmo says Hakaren, vein meshalmo says Chomesh, that she'll never pay the Chomesh even if she becomes Niskala, right? And we saw son b'sreifa, but they also feel that you're sreifa all the time, regardless.
She doesn't have to pay the chomesh because she was a baskara.
Correct. That's correct. Okay, now Mishnah Gimel. Hamachal is bon of ketanim b'savod of ben gadol and ben ketanim. If you give your kids, I guess you're a Yisrael, I guess, right? A non-kohen, right? Yeah, a non-kohen who inadvertently feeds truma to the children who are ketanim. Or to his slaves, whether they're adults or minors, or if ha'echel truma splits Lawrence, which is darabanan, and ha'echel pockets mekazayas truma, it's less than a kazayas, also darabanan, fatzi shir also maybe darabanan, maybe also not there, but regardless, mishalom is hakarim ve'inu mishalom is hachomesh, then you don't pay the chomesh. Hatashlum and chulin, and the payment is not. Doesn't get converted into truma, because this is a pure hezek.
It's a
pure hezek payment. It's not the traditional payment of making a payment. I'm talking about the first case. You're feeding it to your kids by mistake, but they're ketanim, so it's not your. You weren't over any iser.
You were
over like an eva, right? And then also, therefore, it follows in Matzah Hakhanim Cholom Mochel, he can be Mochel as well. Okay?
On the Karen.
Yeah, on the Karen even. Yeah. Now, I made a diuk. At this point, I made the following diuk that you notice that the Gemara, the Mishnah, speaks all this stuff out only in this case of Bon of Tanim. In the previous case, where it said that a Bas Kohen that was married to Yisrael, that if she ate Truma Beshogeg, only pays Karen and not Chomesh. The Mishnah didn't speak all this out, that the Tashlumin is Chulin and Matzah Kain Limchol Mochel doesn't speak all that out in that case. It only spoke it out here in this case. So is that significant or not significant? I don't know. Let's wait and see. Okay? I for a moment thought, well, maybe even though she's only paying Karen, maybe the fact is that it's becomes Truma like a regular payment. I wasn't sure about that, right? Okay, the Mishnah now has a rule, right? Now the Mishnah is going to set up a klal based on what we said till now. Okay? Zeh haklal, this will be Mishnah Dalet. Zeh haklal, kol ha-mashalim karen v'chomesh, v'tashlumin, is that correct? Should be ha-tashlumin, right? Tashlumin is truma, what you pay is truma. And let me turn the page here. And Ratzak on Limchol, Eino Mochel, he can't be Mochel because it's Knas, it's Papara, whatever. Mochelam Hashalom as a Kan, but Eino Hashalom as a Chomesh. Then Tashlum and Chulin, Ratzak on Limchol, Mochel. So when I read the Sefer of the Mishnah, so I saw the Klal. So I thought, oh, it's laying down the rule. So I can lay down, that rule maybe is applicable in the ratio also.
Is this the normal structure where the klal comes at the end?
Yes,
of the
always. Always like that. Zaklal. Always kind of, and I think that it could be telling me the din for the ratio. Okay? Next. Zakta Gemara. Kaki mas nisa. Okay. Yeah, the more now is just kind of like saying something very simple. When it said you could make a mistake, and when you read the first line of the Mishnah there, it says that the Bas Kohen eats truma, and at the end of the sentence says the misasa v'sreifa, that she gets killed. So you might make a mistake and think it means she gets killed for eating truma b'shogeg. So the Gemara goes out of its way to make sure you don't make that mistake. And it says, Kachi masiso zinso misasa v'sreifa. You really should put in another word that if she's mezana, then she gets sreifa. Don't think that sreifa means for achilas truma. My time with your mayor. What's that, Sri?
They're assuming that this is your first day of learning.
Yes, which I don't blame them. I always feel like this is my first day. When I learned the Yerushalmi, it feels like the first day every day. My time with the Rav Meir. So Rav Meir excluded, right? He said that if she's married to an asinah or a mamzer, that she gets chenek instead of sreifa. My time with the Rav Meir. Why? So Gemara says, Kisekel is nois es aviha, that means when she's mezana, esavia, like kind of like while with her father. In other words, it's like while she still has that kohenes title, right? If she's roid to go back to her father's house, No. We're talking about where she marries a mamzeres or an asin, and she becomes disqualified. How come Reb Meir holds that her misa changes? Remember, that's a machlokes. Reb Meir holds misasa b'chenek, and the Rabbanan hold misasa b'sreifa. So why does Reb Meir hold that her misa changes? The answer is because he dashens es aviha, that when does she get sreifa? When she can go back to be in her father's house to eat truma. Yotzezu she'ena ru'i latzu l'beis aviha. She can't go back because she became this soul. She became a halola. This is what however, if she's married to a Kohenes, then someone a Yisrael. Now, this is really the Hebrew it says a kasha. Nisus lakasher vizinsa hareiru uilachsel beisavia. If she goes ahead as an Ashes ish, and she's mizana, so that will also make her a halola because she violated the Isra of Ashes ish. So that also will disqualify her from going back to her father's house. Is that right? 19, one second. Yeah. It says, any act of forbidden cohabitation renders a daughter of a Kohen permanently forbidden to eat truma. So adultery itself renders her forbidden. So what's the difference whether she's nisus to an asin or mamzer or whether she's nisus to a regular Yisrael? She can't go back to her father's house once she's mezana.
But since it's based on the embarrassment to her father, maybe to her mom's or it's worse.
She doesn't get misa if she marries a mamzer. A mamzer. She's a rolois, I say. She gets malchus. That's it. She's only going to get misa if she's mezana. So then if she's mezana as an Ashes ish, so then we decide what kind of misa she's going to get. Is she going to get a regular chenek, which is the standard, or is she going to get sreifa as a bas kohen?
Sreifa. Right, so being mezana with a mamzer is worse than being mezana.
No, she's not being mezana with a mamzer. You're missing the point here. If she we're talking about who did she marry first before she was mezana. If she married a mamzer, if she married a mamzer, then she becomes a halola. If she becomes a halola, so if she's mezana subsequently with somebody else, could be anybody, then her misa is going to be, according to her mayor, chenek. It's going to go down from sreifa to chenek. The chacham hold no, the misa stays the same. Frank the Gemara, how does Rabbi know it? Because it's not esavia anymore. So the Gemara is now asking a question, but even if she's not married to a mamzer, even if she's married to a regular Yisrael, when she goes out and she commits adultery, that bia itself should be enough to disqualify her. So what's the difference? That's the Gemara's kasha. So my answer is, my kadon, what is the reasoning? He seichel is nos as shechilula machmas has nos. That's different. There, the chilul is because of the znus that she's doing. That doesn't bother us, right? V'lo chilula machmas nisun, but not where she was chalola because of the original marriage. Okay. My tana d'rabbanan. So why do they hold maski ayin keep mikol makom? Whatever, as long as she's a masi shkon, it doesn't matter who she was married to. All circumstances. Me'ato afilo chalola mikano. Even if she was a halal from her origin, meaning, let's suppose you had a Kohen and a woman unfit to marry a Kohen, like you had a Kohen married to a Grusha, right? And they had this daughter. She's born in wedlock, but in an invalid wedlock, and she's a halal from birth, right? So the Chilulin, the Gemara is asking a question. The Chilulin is not coming Machmas Znus, right? She's a halola originally, so from the time she was born. So now, if she, what's the Gemara's kasha?
Yeah, but her halolus comes through the way of her mother, who did it through Znus, no?
That's not Znus. They're married. They're legally married. A Kohen that marries a Grusha is legally married. We hold Kedushin as typhus and Kagilavin. And the child is a what? Is a halol. So what's the Gemara asking? Let's see what happens. So let's look at 24. Let's see. According to the rabbi's reason, a daughter from such a union should be executed through burning. After all, she's the daughter of a Kohen. Yet we know even the rabbis exempt such a daughter from burning. Okay, we're asking, in other words, according to the Chachamim, the Chachamim say that if she's married to a mamzer or a nesin, even though she was a halola before the znos even began, it doesn't make a difference. She's still a bas kohen and gets strafa. Frek the Gemara, what if she's a halola from birth? That's the Gemara's kasha. What if she's a halola from birth? Would you say even there that she gets strafa? The Gemara seems to feel that it's pashut that the Chacham don't hold she gets strafa in that case. How they know this? I don't know. They know.
It's very interesting. Footnote 22.
Yeah.
The second shot really makes this Gemara sharpens it. Because what it says is that the drasha is, it didn't say Ubas Koyhei, he say how this nice. It said Ubas Ish Koyhei, he say how this nice.
Yeah.
So as long as the father was a Kohen, no matter what the circumstances of her birth are, it shouldn't make a difference. Bas Kohen. She's not a Bas Kohen. She's a Bas Ish Kohen. And that's the Gemara, hence the Gemara's passion. What do you mean? Bas Ish Kohen. So even if he marries somebody that
we're
makes...
We're only interested in the father.
He's Ish Kohen. Right.
Very good. Okay, that's the Kasha. My answer is now we're on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Tana Reb Kinnun Abar Papa Kumi Reb Zei Reb Reb Yishmael. He learned a brisa of Reb Yishmael. That's how he translates it here. So it's Tana, this person, a brisa de Reb Yishmael. Esavia hi mechalelas. Es shechilula machmas atzma. So it has to be that she is the cause of her chalolos. Is that the word? I don't know if that's the right word. Her chilul has to come from her actions. But if her chilul was because of her father's actions, then she's out of the parasha altogether and she gets regular chenek. Okay. Amar Rav Chanina, Shonani al Rabbi Shmuel, Afil Chalom Ikano. That he has a different price of Rabbi Shmuel where it says the opposite and says it doesn't make a difference. She's going to get strafa regardless, even if she's from birth that way. Okay, so there's apparently two different versions. Let's go on. Hasninon. Let's see over here. If a Kohen wasn't formed while he was eating Truma. Oh, yeah, this is this is going to be later on in the Masefta. Then if a person was eating Truma and then he was informed that he's Ben Chalolo, right? Or Chalutza, right? He's Ben Grusho Chalutza, right? That he's a disqualified person. He's not allowed to eat Truma. So it comes out that all his Achila was Be'isser. Even though he, complete honest, he had no idea, right? He finds out this DNA report that he's not really a valid Kohen. So what do you do? So it's a machlokes over there. Rabbi Eliezer, mechayev karen v'chaimesh. He pays him. He has to pay just like everybody. It's a shogeg. Rabbi Yeshua poter. He also your poter. Now we're going to go focus on Rabbi Yeshua. Now he was never fit to eat truma, and Rabbi Yeshua says he's totally exempt even from the karen. So certainly he's going to exempt the daughter of a Kohen who's married Yisrael, or even not even a mamzer, since she was originally fit to eat the truma until her marriage, surely he'll hold what? That she won't have to pay the keren. So that then it comes out that Rabbi Yeshua is not like any other Vatanum of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has two choices, right? We have, it's not really that much of a choice. We have Rameir and the Chachamim. Both of them say she has to pay the keren. Nobody disqualifies her from saying pay the keren. So, and even Chomesh in some cases, if it was an Nesin of Mamzer, according to Rameir. But the keren for sure, everybody holds you have to pay. And Rabbi Shua comes and says that if I'm a Kohen, find out that I'm a Ben Grusha, then I'm potter from paying anything because, right? Rabbi Shua poter, I'm potter from paying anything, even the keren. That's the Gemara is assuming now that when he says Rabbi Shua poter, it means the keren even. So how can it come out that Rabbi Shua is not like any ton of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, have a boy meimar ma'pligin b'chaimesh. The Gemara says, no. When Yeshua said poiter, he didn't mean your part from paying keren. He meant your part from paying chaimish. But the keren, he would agree. Ma pligan. What are they arguing about? It says here this is an alternative answer. Lisha avar. When do they have an argument? I don't know why this is an alternate answer. I thought this was just a stam, a comment about it. Okay, yeah.
What does Lisha avar?
Lashavra means the stuff that I ate in the past. In other words, I find out I'm Moshe Kohen. I find out while I'm eating, my mouth is full. I just ate half a plate of truma. Now I find out the great news that I'm a Ben Grusha. So everything that I ate in the past, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says I'm Potter. But in La'asid, the stuff I eat in the future, that he doesn't say you're Potter. The reason he potters you on the previous stuff is because you're a complete honest. But now you know you're not a rice. Now what you're going to eat is going to be chayav. So this is an alternate answer, I guess. Let's see. Eight. According to the previous answer, he could only agree with the sages of our Mishnah who maintain daughter of a Kohen married or cohabited with a disqualified man, she's exempt from paying the fifth. Rabbi Yeshua cannot agree with her bayer who obligates a woman to the fifth as well, if she's married to a regular Yisrael. Because if such a woman who was once eligible is obligated to the fifth because she was Mazana, then certainly the son of a divorced woman or Chalutza, who always was ineligible, is so obligated. The Gemara therefore offers a second answer where Rabbi Yeshua could accord even with the sages. We were just explaining that he cannot agree with Rameir. According to the second answer, Rabbi Yeshua could accord even with the Rameir, it should say. I think there's a mistake here. Do you guys have the same thing I have here? My English does not make sense. All right, I don't know. 9, for having eaten truma before he was found out that his mother was a divorcee, he's exempt because he's an honest. Okay, but for any truma he eats from then on, he could agree that he's liable to both principal and the fifth. Because he might
have... You were right. My footnote, Semaphoris at the end, the Gemara therefore offers a second answer according to which Rabbi Shua could accord even with Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Rabbi Meir.
You had a mistake, right? Okay, good. Yeah, I have an old Madura. You see, they correct stuff as time goes on.
They correct stuff, yeah, as it goes on.
Yeah. Okay.
Shlomi, you're supposed to be sending in your Ha'aris every single night to Mayor Pasternak, so they can...
Oh, no, I'm not going to send them. Everything I see everything I'm catching, they caught already.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see here. What are we up to? Hamachla is one of Tanav Esavodov. So if you feed your children who are minors or your slaves, so then they pay the principal. Now, lo hisvik l'shalom matzin ishtakar. Let's suppose they haven't gotten around to pay. The master didn't get around to pay. And then he freed his slave. No saying that he has to pay both the principal and the fifth.
Hoylo nechosim shein l'mal b'rushos. What?
It's funny. At the time of the act, the rav is mechuyev to pay the keren and he's not mechuyev to pay the chomesh.
Right.
But if he's meshaker him, then the eved has to pay both. Obviously, even in the case where the rav pays the keren, if subsequently he's meshaker the eved will have to pay the fifth. So that fifth doesn't fall off the back of the eved. Okay. Now let's keep going. You'll see. So hayel nechasim shein l'rav b'rushos b'hem. And even if the slave had not been freed, but he had. You could give an eved a matana manasha ein l'rav b'chol rishus b'hem, and then the rav doesn't have rishus and he has to pay for it as well. Hey chavido, what about this case?
So you only have to pay the chavish when you eat it in the proper way that you would be chayiv to pay the chavish to carry it here. As an eved, he wasn't responsible.
As an eved, he wasn't responsible for what?
For the chavish.
Why wasn't he responsible? He's like an isha. He has all the mitzvahs of an isha. So if a woman eats it for shogeg, what?
But he was given that by the adam.
That's a shogeg.
Therefore, why is he chayv for the chaymish?
Therefore, he should be chayv the chomish. I mean,
what's in his shogeg? It was the baal's shogeg.
What do we have? We had earlier, we had a Mishnah earlier where you have guests over and you feed them. Are they chayv chomesh? I think it says they're chayv chomesh, no? I think that's what the Mishnah said. Yeah, the guests have to pay even though they didn't. That's a shogeg. I mean, yes, it's my fault. So I'll pay the carrot.
We had a case of Payalim, right? We had both cases.
We had also what you have Orkin. We had both cases. Okay. Right. Okay, so let's go on. So the Gemara is now going to ask a what-if question. Reuven goes on with Shem v'chil Levi. Reuven steals the truma, right? No. Forget about truma. This could be, it has nothing to do with truma. This could be a stam shayla, even by regular chayshem mishpat shayla. This is what's interesting about this case. Yeah. So if I steal from Shimon and I feed the food to Levi. So 1 second. I steal from Shimon, I feed it to Levi. So now who has to pay? Yotze de Gzelo. Meaning if Levi were to pay Shimon for what he ate, this is the question. If Levi pays Shimon for what he ate, does that let Reuven off the hook? Since after all, he's the goslin. It says in the pasuk,
why would Levi have to pay Shimon?
He did. He paid him. Why did he pay him? I'm not sure why he paid him. But that's what happened. He paid him. We'll look. Maybe we'll look at the portion why he paid him. If he paid him because he felt an obligation. He felt, look, this was I ate your food here. I'm going to pay you for your food, right? Reuven gave me. No, Reuven gave me the gzela of Shimon, and I ate it. I feel bad. I want to pay for it. Here's the payment. Was that payment adequate to pater Reuven from, in other words,
Shimon? Karen, not the kefal.
Karen, we're not talking about any kefal here.
But Reuven has to pay back kefal for stealing.
Gzela. No kefal. Talking about, well, the question is Levi's payment going to operate for Reuven? Okay? Or may Shimon still sue Reuven for payment? Similarly, in our Mishnah's case, if the slave was fed the truma, was freed before the master paid the principal, and you're telling me that the slave must pay both Karen and Chomesh, is the master's payment obligation, I should say, to pay discharge through the slave's payment? That's the example. That's the marshal.
You can't double bill. That would be double billing.
But take it from my, let's say I'm the Goslin. Okay. I stole from you and I have a chiyuv heishiv like Zelash or Gozal. I should have to make restitution from you to you for what I stole from you, even though you got paid. You got paid from someone, a third party, but what's it got to do with me? I mean, it's a funny thing. Right? Yeah, okay. Tifluto de Rabbi of Rabba v'Rabbianai. So it's a machlokas. This Spalgan, they argued in the following case. Some people are gurus like this. This is, you have to change it a little bit. Look, if you look, Mara Folder, he changes the way the Gemara really presents it. It's Gazal Me'a Rasay Shalzeh. We're talking about, you have a Kohen who's in a Mishmar, right? So I'm a Kohen. I'm in, and I'm part of this week's Mishmar. It's my week to work in Beis HaMikdash. The fact that I'm in the Mishmar gives me rights, which means that any carbon oil that's brought, I am Zocha in the Or that belongs to me, right? If someone comes and steals that Or from me and then gives that Or to another Kohen who's not part of my Mishmar, okay, that's the case. Got it? So he gave the or to Kohanim in general, to the Shevet, but not to the one who was Zocha that week, because it was his week. That's what the look at Mar Folder. Gozo may Rasa Shazak, Kohen Shanofalo Iris Shal Oilo, Bimashmarasai. The Gozo Yisrael Ha Iris, on the son of the Kohen Acher, She'enu Bimashmarasai. Right? Well, the Goslin in a the Goslin can't be netted from it because it's, I don't know if it's hektish. It's probably hektish. He can't be netted from it. I'm not sure. Who are then the pliginami b'stam gzeila? Right. Okay, so it's a machlokas. What's the machlokas? What do they say? So it says, Rabbi Loza B'Shem Rabbi Chia Rabba Moitzinus Min HaRishon Ve'im Moitzinus Min HaSheni, that you can collect payment for the or from the first person, not from the second person. Meaning, who's the second person? The second person is the one, the first person is the Goslin. The second person is the person that the Goslin gave it to, right? That's the non-Mishmar Kohen in our example. So he says you can be Moitzi from the first person, not the second person. Only the first person is liable. Okay, next page. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yanai, af moitzi'im min ha'sheni. You can even take from the second one. So let's see what the English says at the top. According to Rabbi Chia, who says the second person's not liable. So if he's not liable and makes a payment anyway, it cannot be considered restitution because he had no obligation. Meaning he could never be a target of collection on the part of the original Nigzal. So Rabbi Chia would hold that Levi's payment for Shimon for the food fed to him by Reuven does not discharge Reuven of his obligation. Likewise, in our Mishnah's case, though the slave ate the truma and subsequently had money to pay the principal, nevertheless, the payment would not discharge his master for his obligation because it was the master who was caused the geneva to begin with. Rav Yanai, however, who holds the owner of the cloak could demand payment from the second person as well, would hold Levi's payment to Shimon discharges Reuven. Okay, and similarly, the slave's payment would discharge the master. Now the Gemara, so that's the Gemara's attempt to answer. It's a very interesting tushtel, right? I found this fascinating. The Gemara rejects the premise. There's an agreement, disagreement. Even Rav Chiya, Rabba, Moidi, Bekimishin, son of Levi, Yatsik, Beg, Zeloi. Even Rav Chiya the Great. Who's Rav Chiya the Great? Rav Chiya Rabba. So that's the first. That's Rav Elazar said, B'Shem, Rav Chiya Rabba. They ain't Mertim Rasheni. So he agrees that if Reuven gave the to Levi and Levi paid for it, Reuven doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to make a restitution. In other words, it's one thing to say you can't go after him and collect from him, but it's another thing to say that if he does end up paying on his own, that it doesn't discharge me. He feels no. Once he paid, I mean, you could say, you know, like you said, you don't get double payment. That may be his svara. But the point of it is, even he agrees, the only thing they're disagreeing is whether we can go after him or not. Can't go after him. But if he paid for it, then Torah is over. That's what it says.
You know, there's like a Gabra Kapsa kind of thing about Heshavis and Zela. Is it you have to pay or he has to
get paid. Yeah.
He has to be recompensed, right? So the Gemara here is kind of leaving it that the main thing is that he has to be recompensed.
This certainly reminds me of the Gemara over there in Kedushin by if she says 10 menel aplaini v'akadosh neiloch, or you know, or those type of cases, you know, there's v'kadosh didn't evit ivri. Remember that? It's v'kadosh didn't arev, and then there's a case where she's v'kadosh didn't evit ivri. The evit ivri case is a more interesting case, which is more like this. So what's that case? That case is because we learned from there that I go to the master and I pay him the balance of what the slave owes him. So even though the slave didn't do the actual payment, the third party pays it on his behalf. And it works for him. So the same thing, if she says, what's the case?
It's not 10 model of Pliny, because that's Arif. What is it? I don't remember. I can't think of it.
Whatever. But I think that's that. I think that case is just like this. Okay. Next, Shtei Kupas. Now we have the final discussion here in this Gemara. We have the Mishnah Halacha Gimel. Shtei Kupas, the two boxes. Achas Shachum v'Achas Shachulin. One's Truma, one's filled with Kulin. Now comes along a saw of Truma and falls into one of the boxes. We don't know which box it fell into. Ein yadu le'ezmehen nofla. Right, so if it fell into the Truma box, everything's good. The Kohanim can eat the Truma box, and the Yisraelim can eat the Chulin box. Everything's hunky-dory. If the Truma fell into the Chulin box, then we have Meduma, and then they wouldn't be able to eat it. So the Mishnah Paskins, what do we say? Harani Yomel Turk Shal Truma Nofla. I say that we can assume that it fell into the Truma box. Why? Because we have to posit this, that this is the case. Talking about a saw, that's the case. It's a saw of Truma that fell into the box. It must be a case where you have more than a saw in both boxes that was already present. So that you'd have Rove on a Torah level anyway. So therefore, this is only a Sveka Drabbanan. And a Sveka Drabbanan, we could say Ani Yomer. Second of all, we're talking about Truma Drabbanan Bizman Hazet. Yeah, there are all these types of things. There are these big footnotes about this, but this is basically the idea. Yeah, there's a very interesting Rashba over here. Okay, I'm going to direct you to read footnote 4. There's a Rashba over here, very interesting. Let's go on. So next. Sorry, I missed it. Ein yadua, ezu he shall truma, ve'ezu he shall chulin. Right? If you don't know which one is truma and which one is chulin, in other words, I've got the two boxes, but I don't know which box is which. Right? And
after the fact, you know which one you spill the stuff into. This is the second case.
So it's after it fell in. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Does anything have to have fallen in? He has two boxes. He doesn't know what's in either box. One's chulin, one's truma, and he ate one of them.
Okay, let's learn that way for now. Let's see how it works. So, ochal ha'sachas b'hem pater. Non-kohen ate one of them, he's pater because ha'motzi b'chaver ol haraya. Prove to me that I ate it, right? And I'll pay it. Ha'shniya no'ig bo es ha'truma b'cheyos b'chal. You have to assume the chumra that it is truma. And also you have to assume the chumra that it's chulin. And if you make a dough out of it, you have to take off challah. Did Reb Meir. So that's how he holds. Reb Yossi pater, no. Yossi says, no, you don't put them chala, because he holds, if you treat it like truma, l'chumra, then you can't treat it like chulin to say chayav chala. He says, that's too much of a contradiction. So he holds, once you make machmer to treat it like truma, that's it. You put them chala also. Okay. Ochal achara es min hashniya. Now, if someone else ate from the second box, he's also part of the same reason.
Because
same reason the first guy was Patro. He's a Suffolk. And Cohen doesn't know whether he really ate it or not. So it's Hamosim Kavel Varaya. Ochal Echem in Shnehen. And if I ate both boxes, or part of both boxes, obviously I'm going to be Chayef. Shalom Kekana Shub Shnehen, and I'd have to pay the smaller amount, right?
You'd have to pay the Truma, the carrot and the Chaymesh.
The carrot and the Chaymesh of the smaller amount if I ate a different volume, right? Now let's say one of these two boxes fell into another third box of chulin. So now Enim Adam Asim doesn't make it into anymore because we don't know.
You don't know which fell into the chulin.
It says over here in 10 that the rabbinic stringency to say you need 100 to 1. Is only where it's Vadai. But if it's a Suffolk, they were never Machmer, and therefore you go bust a rope.
What Suffolk, hey, you're not sure if what you poured in is Truma.
That's correct. You don't know. Vashniya, obviously the same thing. Nogba Truma Vachemus Machala, again, Dere Meir. And Rabbi Yossi point to the same reason.
Because you can't have
two Chumras that are size of each other. Nofla Shniya Lamacha Machmer, and same thing is true if the second box falls into another place. Same idea, right? Now, it doesn't make it meduma. If they both fall into one, then medamas kishtanashu v'shtehen. Obviously, they'll make it demua like the smaller one, because the smaller one is the least of the possibilities to go lucham. Okay. Now, what about gedulei truma? Zorai asachas mehen. Let's suppose you planted one of the boxes. Putter, you're exempt. Meaning, normally we say gedulei truma is truma, but that's only when it's Vadai Truma, but when it's a Suffolk, that they don't, that the Chacham weren't Machmer. Hashniya Nogba Kachumah Chemus Machala, the Reb Meir, again, Reb Yossi says it's Potter. Zorachas Hashniya, someone else planted the second box, Potter, he's also Potter. But if you had Zorachas Shnehem, but that was Shazari, call him Mutter. If one person planted both of them, then if it's something where the original seed disintegrates, decomposes, then it's Mutter. But if it's like an onion where it doesn't, where the original does not decompose, then it's osir.
Okay.
That's it, my friends. Ad kan. We'll be in Samachas Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. Have a good Chodesh. I guess so.